This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today we're going to talk about a revolutionary treatment for nasal congestion, also dental problems. You probably heard us talk about it because we're great admirers of this technology. We're talking about xylitol. We're talking to an expert, an innovator in this field. He's CEO and founder of Clear Inc., and that's spelled X-L-E-A-R. Why the X? Well, it's because it's all about xylitol, you know, xylophones. And xylitol, they're spelled with an X pronounced Z. In this case, the X is pronounced C, just so you can remember it's all about xylitol. So Nate Jones founded this company a few years back. You may have heard his story. Nate, just briefly recap how you got into this.
I got into it because my father is an innovative physician, and he is the one that came up with the Clear nasal spray. He invented it in his practice to use with little children, infants, that were getting recurrent otitis, ear infections. And he wanted to find something to do better than just bombard them with antibiotics. And so reading through all these different studies, he came up with this xylitol sweetener that they used. And he put it into a nasal spray, which made it much more effective and easier to use on infants. And I quit my day job and started the company because he didn't really want to quit his day job being a doctor that he enjoyed doing.
And it's really flourished. You have a big production facility out there in Utah and scores of employees, and you can find Clear nasal spray and Spry dental products, which are also xylitol based, in health food stores and pharmacy chains across the country, right?
Yeah. No, and we're growing and growing. We just found out on Monday that we're the number one selling non-medicated nasal spray at CVS and the number three non-medicated nasal spray in the country.
Whoa. Now, that is quite a distinction because, I mean, there's such a very crowded marketplace. And you really, and I think because of really the good science that backs this up, because, well, you know, let's fit it into a seasonal theme. This is the time of year where a lot of people get sick. Part of the reason is viruses love the cold. Part of it is we're all stressed out. We're eating badly, not sleeping enough. And part of it is, well, you go inside and you close the windows and the doors and the germs have nowhere to escape. And so, you know, every house, especially when there are kids around, is a giant petri dish for germs. And that's why people are vulnerable, right?
I'm not afraid.
You're protected. You've got your shield. The other thing that's going on is when we tend to dehumidify, and we do that, you know, intentionally, but we also do it unintentionally because we, you know, turn the furnace on or the baseboards, and we dry out the air. And that's not particularly good for our defenses and our nasal passages, is it?
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
They've actually, there was, I just read this the other day where they had some people and they were talking about this doctor who realized, in fact, I wish I hadn't brought it up because I can't remember where I read it.
It's okay. You don't have to have a precise reference for everything you say. We'll take it on your word.
It was a doctor that had given up or wanted to find out more about how to, what was causing all these hospital infections and nosocomial infections and all of that. Mm-hmm. And she actually quit being a doctor, went back to school for another degree, went back to school for an architectural degree, and at the end realized that the reason why people get these viral infections and these bacterial infections a lot in hospitals is because the air is very dry.
Mm-hmm. So she became sort of a building doctor after being a people doctor, but you know, maybe she can actually wield more influence than one-on-one, you know, handing out antibiotics in the office by innovating in hospital design. Maybe she can avert some of these terrible nosocomial infections. You know, fancy word for hospital acquired. Yeah, because hospital is very perilous.
Well, there was a paper that was published back in 1986. Arundel, I think, is the guy's name, Arundell. And what he showed in all of his research is that the optimal humidity for a human is between 40% and 60%.
Hmm. And I've heard it said, and I don't know, maybe this is an apocryphal story, that the average humidity in a, say, a New York City or Chicago apartment in January is less than the humidity in the Sahara Desert. I'm not sure if that's entirely true, but it probably is a rough approximation.
It could be.
Indeed.
I know that I keep my house at a pretty solid 45% humidity.
Oh, okay. So by humidifying the air, we can do something to mitigate infections. But on the xylitol front, you're all fired up, Nate, because you recently returned from a meeting of 600 dentists, and you learned some new things about xylitol. Although you're, you know, one of the world's experts on that subject, that's right in your wheelhouse. So, what are some of the things that they discussed?
Well, they discussed some studies that I still don't know the particulars about, but it was a study that we donated a bunch of product to a number of years ago, and they were working in Malawi with pregnant women and seeing how using xylitol, again, to break up biofilm and to I guess modulate the gut microbiome.
This is oral affected. Xylitol or nasal spray or what?
This is oral xylitol. We sent them a whole bunch of gum.
Okay.
And they were using it and giving it out to these pregnant women to see how it affected the oral microbiome and the bacterial biofilm, how using the gum would change that and how it would affect miscarriage rates.
Whoa. Who would have thunk that there's a relationship between dental health, dental hygiene, and miscarriages? But hey, it makes sense because if you're carrying a bacterial burden in your mouth, that could have a negative effect. It gets in your bloodstream and promotes inflammation. So what was the outcome? Was it positive?
Well, from what I hear, it's positive, but they can't give me any specifics. They just said it was really positive, and they're like, well, you know, we can't talk about it. It hasn't been published. It's still in
well, the- yeah, there's this I'm thing. Like, well, I mean, it's frustrating because I hear about stuff in conferences, and I hear about stuff on the grapevine. They say, but the information is what's called embargoed. They have an agreement with the medical publisher that they're not going to jump the gun and announce the results until, you know, 12 a.m. on, you know, December 22nd. When, you know, on your mark, get set, go, you can actually send out a press release and publicize it. So anyway, so that's a preview of what one of the studies will show.
Yeah.
Anything else that was going on there?
The lady that did the study is actually going to be presenting it at a conference that I am going out of my way to make sure that I attend in Minnesota in August.
Okay. Well, that doesn't sound too shabby. Better than Minnesota in January. Because you had to bring your long
that is
underwear.
That's true.
Yeah, that's not too shabby. I mean, you could manage that.
So I'm really excited about that. You know, some of the other stuff that I learned while I was on that trip, it had nothing to do with the trip, is that you know, we push the clear products into the mass market, into the CVS, the Walgreens, the Rite Aid, and those stores.
Which is an accomplishment. That is actually a coup because I think people don't realize this. You, as a retailer, you have to fight for shelf space. And in fact, there have been cases of like bribery and favors and people getting gold watches to just to allow like, you know, 18 inches of shelf space to a product in a crowded pharmacy. So it really suggests that it's a popular product and that they've accepted it.
Yeah, no, it's actually been well. There have been a couple of, you know, misstarts, I guess. I don't know what you call them, but it's doing well now. And so 2020 and in the last half of 2019, we've actually been focusing on getting some of the oral care, the spry products, out into the mass market. Mm-hmm. And we just learned two months ago, that the CVS's and the 7-Elevens of Hawaii are picking up the gum, the Spry gum.
Okay, that's a coup.
And that is pretty nice. We're pretty excited about that. So it goes on shelf out there in January and February. And, we're already...
So when you go to the 7-Eleven and you pick up your snow cone, you can also get yourself some Spry gum or, you know, some to counteract the negative effects of the sugar. You know, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely.
Because yes. 7-Eleven is not exactly a mecca of natural health products. So, you know, that suggests that it's really going mainstream. Like, congratulations on that one.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it suggests. And we're actually really happy about it. It's going to help us. I mean, I don't know if you've heard, but you know, we have issues dealing with Whole Foods all the time because they keep changing what they're doing. And they announced to us, 6 months ago that in January, they're doing a reset. And the way Whole Foods works, it probably won't take effect until January of 2023. But they told us that in January of 2020, they were discontinuing all of their sugar-free mints because their buyer, in his infinite wisdom, thinks that sugar, natural sugar, is better than xylitol. It's better for you than xylitol is, which I don't know where he comes up with this knowledge, but, you know, he's obviously smarter than I am.
Interesting. Now there's a new study, and the study, it's from, I had it up here on my screen. I just sent it to you to remind you to talk about it, that looks at the extradental benefits of xylitol. In other words, yeah, we know it protects teeth and reduces the risk of dental caries. We can talk a little more about that. But there's some additional benefits. The study, I have it here. The study's entitled Xylitol's Health Benefits Beyond Dental Health, a comprehensive review. A bunch of researchers published that earlier this year. Can you break it down for us?
Oh, that one is a whole bunch of stuff, because what they did is they went out all of the different research studies, some of them that are outside of my scope of where we're at, but they showed that there have been studies done using xylitol in skincare products because it actually, again, it draws moisture to it. So by putting it in lotion and skincare products, it's actually going to keep your skin moist for a longer period of time. And what they also showed is
possible mechanism by which that occurs? It's unclear how that would be the case.
Xylitol, and I don't know what the mechanism is, but for some reason, it's considered a humectant because it will always pull moisture toward it.
Hmm, okay. But so it's not, okay. you don't have to smear it on your body, you know, in like a topical cream. By taking it internally, it has that effect?
When they took it internally, there were a couple of studies, and I'm not really familiar because we're not in the skincare business, but what they showed is that it did something to the skin itself that made it more humid. But by putting it into a lotion, it was actually just pulling more moisture, and it helped the lotion keep the skin moist for a longer period of time.
And this is in keeping with some studies that have shown, and, you know, I know you don't make a topical product. I don't know, maybe that's on the drawing board for outside the mouth, but for wound
care.
Honestly,
it is. We already have a whole bunch of them in our facility. I have some here in my house that we're trying right now, but they're lotions, they're body scrubs, I mean, other stuff.
Yeah.
We're beta testing it.
Right. But there's some extraordinary wound healing characteristics of xylitol. You know, part of the one of the big problems and challenges in medicine is people who have ulcerations and poorly healing wounds on skin surfaces. And it's thought that that has something to do with biofilms, which keep the bacteria sequestered and kind of armor them against the body's own immune system and the effects of antibiotics that you take systemically. And because xylitol breaks biofilms, we can talk a little bit more about what that's about. It's been used a lot in experiments on healing, say, diabetic ulcers, chronic venous stasis ulcers. So it also has antibiotic properties.
Well, the very first doctor that looked at that, his name was Randall Walcott, and he was out of Lubbock, Texas, and he's actually tied into my dad. But he had a wound care center, and this, again, is 20 years ago. He actually filed and was granted PANS because he had one of these wound care centers where he had patients like what you just described that had these lacerations and wounds that just wouldn't heal. And they'd have to come in every couple of months and they'd debride them and clean them and rebandage them. And they just, the people just had to live with these wounds, but they could never get all these biofilms out. And this guy, he listened to my dad talk about xylitol and biofilms one time, and he went back and took some xylitol and lactoferrin and mixed it into the dressing that he was putting on it. And these people that had had wounds that had been open for years, all of a sudden were better.
That's the crucial combo, is the lactoferrin seems to enhance the properties of the xylitol. And I actually attended a conference where that was with you at your invitation that presented that data. It was very interesting.
Yeah. So that's the thing. But he has a patent on it, and he never really took it to market, but he sold it. He sold the patent to a company out of Ireland called Glambia, and they thought it was such an impressive product that it is the first time that that company took a consumer product, a finished product, and put it on the market. And I don't know how it's been doing, because they actually introduced it in Europe a year and a half, 2 years ago. One of the vice presidents of that company came over here and met with me to discuss, you know, how they were going to go and do it. And to be honest, maybe I need to follow up with him and see how it's doing.
Right. I think the problem here in the United States is, as you know, is that when it comes to natural products, if they're too effective, if they really work on serious disease problems like leg ulcers and things like that, the FDA wants to get involved because it has a, there's a medical claim, there's a medical application. So we can confidently say that, oh, you know, it will enhance oral health, it'll protect, you know, your teeth and gums, using sort of weasel words to suggest that indeed, this has disease-fighting capabilities. And on the skin, you know, we can talk about moisturization. We can't talk about, hey, use this stuff to heal your, you know, decubitus ulcers.
Correct.
So you can become a victim of your own success in a way if the product is too effective, paradoxically.
No, absolutely. I mean, in the U.S., they just have the problem. And I don't know that I would say it is a problem. I look at it as a problem. But in the U.S., I think it's more than a challenge. I think it is a problem. But on our products in Europe and Canada and some of the other countries outside of the U.S., we can actually make claims on our package about how you can use it to prevent.
And truthful claims. And claims that are backed by science. And
absolutely.
In this country, we have this thing called the First Amendment. You know, you can call anybody an idiot, you know, and you can, you know, make, I mean, you can say some pretty obscene things on Twitter and so on and so forth. But you can't make a claim like xylitol fights X disease, because the FDA and the FTC is going to jump down your throat.
No, well, not only that, it will never happen. We actually learned this 18, 19 years ago, because we trying to get the FDA to allow us to make these drug claims. But in the U.S., they do not have a category for a food that acts as a drug.
Right.
And so if we ever wanted to make a drug claim for our product, we would have to get xylitol classified as a drug, not as a food.
Right. So we can't state that there's any potential for using this to reduce the incidence of upper respiratory infections, although there is research that actually suggests that.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, you know, this being cold and flu season, what I want to do is let's pause. because we divide our podcast into two parts and keeping our audience in suspense a little bit. Let's talk about some of those studies in part two. And, you know, because I think news that people can use, because a lot of people, I think, who are listening to this are in dread of coming down with yet another debilitating cold or flu. You know, perhaps they spend, weeks out of every year with downtime, coughing, sneezing. They might develop chronic sinusitis, sinus headaches. They're on nasal steroids and all kinds of medication. They take antibiotics frequently. They might have asthma. Asthma is certainly related to the condition of your upper airways, in my opinion. And so let's talk about research that supports the use of xylitol for prevention and even potentially for treatment of some of these chronic conditions. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is the CEO of Clear, X-L-E-A-R. You can find out more about Clear at their website, xlear.com. He's Nathan Jones. And we'll be right back to continue our conversation in just a moment here on Intelligent Medicine.